Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to the Screen Geeks Film Snob. This is Dave.
This is Barry.
We're on our fifth one of these. Sorry about the long delay. Life happens. That's all you can say. This week, we're talking about the Fritz Lang classic, M.
Yes, for those of you who only know Fritz Lang from his film Metropolis, well, I gotta tell you, there is another genre that he completely created and has forever altered and shaped. That would be the serial killer thriller. Truly, his film M is... Forget Seven, forget The Watcher and Kiss the Girls and every other serial killer movie, because they give even Silence of the Lambs. They would have been unthinkable had M not come first. This is Peter Lorre playing a really creepy, creepy child murderer wandering the lonely, dark, shadowy streets of Germany. I don't want to give too much away other than to say that there's a really, really clever way in which he eventually does get caught. But once he does get caught, the movie does a complete turnaround on the audience, and all of a sudden you begin to root for the killer, who is at the hands of a really angry and bloodthirsty mob. And they do the kind of this kangaroo court. So it's a different film. It's a strange film. It's a dark film. It's a beautiful film. It's thrilling. It's grimy. It's gritty. It's very disturbing. It's distinctly comic. And I love this movie.
One of the things I really appreciated about it was the fact that, yes, this guy is a serial killer, and yes, he's a child killer. They don't even set up what happens to the children.
Yeah.
Something happens, and that's all you need to know.
Right.
And I think that was really a move of really good taste on Lang's part.
Oh, yeah. I mean, today you get, like, the whole CSI, like, reenactment of what happened. But, yeah, they had the good taste. I mean, of course, there wasn't a whole lot they could show back then anyway, but they have the good taste to just imply all this. And, you know, they certainly leave it completely up to your nightmares to fill in the blanks.
Yeah, the cool thing was that you find out about it third hand, so if you aren't watching close, you can miss it.
Oh, absolutely.
And Peter Lorre, goodness, I can see why he became known as a good actor just because of this film.
Yeah.
I mean, forget all the, you know, Casablanca and all that stuff. he really steals this movie.
They're taking me away, Reek.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't even know he was German. I just thought he had
You just thought he had a cool accent.
Yeah, he's just like, I can't place that anywhere.
Yeah.
But he was amazing in it.
Yeah.
And the fact that he not only has the cops looking for him, but it ends up... Should I spoil this part? Just that they're looking for
him?
Minor
spoiler.
There's a minor spoiler alert. The criminal element finds this so disgusting that they start looking for him, too.
Yeah.
And that's just... It's really an interesting concept.
It is.
In this day and age, that wouldn't have happened, probably.
Oh, of course not. No. I mean, yeah. And Lorre, his performance is so complex and weird. And like I say, honestly, the last act of the movie where he basically is at the mercy of this kangaroo court, it's always... I always find myself siding with him whenever I see that, because they want to kill him.
Just outright. There's no questions asked. I mean, in a way, you can kind of understand it.
Of course.
At the same time, you're like, there has to be justice in the society.
Right. And there is none. There is completely no justice at hand, and he is not being rightfully represented, and he is just at the mercy of these vampires who just want his blood. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's an interesting movie to talk about thematically, about what it's implying about what is true justice and exactly how we should deal with criminals of this sort. It's very thoughtful. And, you know, I mean, to me, I look at the movie Seven, and I think M is all over that movie.
Absolutely. I hadn't even thought about that.
I mean, it's certainly in terms of grime and darkness and you know, basically, like, you almost get the sense that we're living in a world that seems to exist within the mind of the serial killer, in a sense. I mean, it's such a dark, overcast, grimy, scary, wet world.
Absolutely. One of the things I love about this is the fact that there are really no idiots in this movie.
Yeah.
There are certain things that come along that... If this was a normal cop movie, you know, normal serial killer movie put in today's time, people would have missed, you know, oh, I missed this detail. In this case, you know, the cops are smart. They're right. Doing their job. They're on top of it. And I really appreciated that. I didn't feel like I was being, you know, pandered to.
Oh, yeah. And today you would have had the inevitable scene of, you know, the cop who gets in way too deep. And, of course, the serial killer killed his wife, so that's why he's in it. And then eventually he screws up. And the chief is like, Magruder, I want your badge and your gun. And so the cop has to go out and get it for himself. Yeah, I mean, you know, you don't have any of those cliches. It's really just, it's kind of a nakedly human movie. And I won't give it away, but I love how the title comes up. I love the use of M, how that eventually comes up. I think it's just brilliant. I think it's a wonderful scene. And it's such an iconic moment that it actually became the movie's poster.
Yeah, absolutely. It's good stuff.
Yeah, love this film.
So pause it here real quick. one last thing you have to talk about is, or one of the last things, I guess, you have to talk about the use of the letter M. Because no one why is it called M? And when it's revealed, I thought it was a really smart way to do it.
Yeah, definitely. Very clever and, yeah, wonderful, wonderful moment.
Absolutely, yeah. Anything else you want to add about it? So the Seven reference was brilliant, I got to say.
Oh, thank you. No, that's honestly what I thought of the first time I ever saw it. It's, you know, it doesn't matter how old it is. I just love this movie. I love the use of Peer Gynt's I think it's perfect and creepy the way they use it in this movie. It's really one of those iconic, you know, movie themes that ends up, you know, being used in this film. Certainly for anybody who loved Metropolis, I would highly recommend this. This is such a visionary film. It's, you know, very different from Metropolis in so many ways, but in terms of like a visionary German filmmaker who is essentially creating a genre here. And I swear, like, everything from CSI, everything on TV, every serial killer movie since then, you see the fingerprints of M all over it.
And one thing that you have to mention also, one of the things that I think makes this a great film is the fact that the film where it made today would have ended when he was captured.
Sure.
That's not the end here. And there's a good chunk to it, and it becomes, you know, a part of the story, not the end that the means were getting to. Which I really appreciated.
Yeah, it's very complex. Exactly. It would have been very clear-cut, but instead, Lang, I think, really asked you to question not only the motive, but also, you know, just how exactly we punish someone whose soul is so poisoned. Do we do it by exterminating him, or do we do it by helping him and protecting him? And there's so much to this film.
Absolutely. So let's talk about the DVD.
Yes.
Here's a shock. It's put out by Criterion.
Thank you, Criterion.
Yes. It's a 2-disc set. Unfortunately, I did this through Netflix, so I only got the first disc. But it's got an audio commentary by German film scholars Anton Kess and Eric Rentschler. My bad. Mr. Kess wrote the volume on M for the BFI Film Classics, and Mr. Rentschler is the author of Ministry of Illusion, Nazi Cinema, and Its Afterlife. There's also a 50-minute conversation with Fritz Lang by William Friedkin, which is kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Then you have Claude Charbel's, wow, I'm going to butcher this, M. Le Maudit.
Claude.
What?
Sorry, Claude.
Yeah, exactly. A short film inspired by M, and an interview about the filmmaking techniques. It's got some classroom tapes from the editor, Paul Falkenberg, and an interview with Harold Nebensall. Nebensall, the son of the producer. There's a physical history on M. There's a stills gallery, and I have to say that they talk about a new subtitle translation. It was pretty good.
Hmm.
So it comes with the prerequisite 32-page booklet as opposed to a little 1-page insert that you get with other DVD companies.
So film school in a box, folks. That's what it is, as usual, from the Criterion people. Thank you.
Absolutely. So we'll put a link up to that. And I think that's about all we've got to talk about right now. Next week we're taking a very distinctly...
sharp comic turn.
We are. We're going to be talking about Charlie Chaplin's The Great Dictator. That's not Modern Times, not City Lights.
The Great Dictator. That's right. Big FU to Adolf. All right.
It's all good. So until next week, this is Dave.
This is Barry.
Take it easy.